If you want to open the Bible at Acts chapter 1, in a minute or two, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Are you familiar with the term all-inclusive holidays? Yeah. maybe you've been in an all-inclusive. You know, God has an all-inclusive gift. The thing about an all-inclusive holiday is everything is provided. Good, bad, and indifferent. And there, God has an all-inclusive gift. And we really need to, I think, unpack that a little bit and see that more clearly. The all-inclusive gift that God has given us is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me unpack that a little bit. Do you need comfort this morning? He's the comforter. Do you need power? He's the source of power. Do you need guidance? He leads. He guides. Do you need wisdom? Do you need boldness to speak up, speak out, or not? He's the one who gives boldness. Does this church need strength, power, wisdom, unity to impact the immediate and wider Dunmore area? Are you weak this morning? He gives strength to the weak. Are you weak in prayer? He helps you pray. Are you weak in witness? He helps you witness. He's the very presence and person of God in our midst and dwelling in us. Sometimes when I'm helping people and they think they need peace and they do, they think they need strength and they do, they think they need wisdom and they do, but really what they need most is God through the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak this morning for about 20 minutes on God's incredible, all-inclusive gift of the Holy Spirit. And we'll read those verses first of all. In the first book, O Theophilus, so this is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospels describe Jesus' earthly life, service, ministry, life, death, burial, and resurrection. But that was only the start. The book of Acts tells us what happens after that. O Theophilus, the word Theophilus means lover or friend of God. Wouldn't it be great? I don't plan to die soon, but I would love someone to say at my funeral, he really loved God. Yes, I believed in God, but I loved God. Theophilus. Wouldn't it be great if this church could be known as a church that loves the living God? And I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, not a few, appearing to them during 40 days, 40, significant number, the number of trial. 40 days he appeared to them, speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John, that's John the Baptist, baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And just to hang it into last week as well, John the Baptist was a strange character. And I was saying during the week, or was it 2 weeks ago, to a group I was sharing with, if you were going to have a visiting guest speaker, John the Baptist, I would struggle with that a little bit. You know, he was a real firebrand and long hair. He didn't just eat French food. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he was no holds barred. But he was described as the last and the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Why? I believe he said two things about Jesus that were incredibly foundational, incredibly important, and that the nation at that time need to wake up to. And the first one is, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Make no mistake about it. That is one of the most wonderful things about Christ, that he's my lamb, he's your lamb, he's our sacrifice, he's our substitute. And that message last week, I hope it was a good message, but I've described, certainly the message of Christ being the lamb is a good, basic, and sobering message. Well, even when I was delivering that message, I felt there was a sobriety to it. Because life is serious, death is a reality, sin is a reality, judgment's a reality, but Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. And John the Baptist said, there he is, the Lamb. There's a story about the Niagara Falls, and there's this tightrope walker, and he gets a tightrope, and he starts to walk across the Niagara Falls, and there's a crowd watching, and they're applauding. He gets a wheelbarrow, and he says, how many of you believe I could push this wheelbarrow across this tightrope? And they all said, we believe you can do it. And then he said, who will get into the wheelbarrow? It's the same when you hear that Christ is the Lamb of God, you've got to get into the wheelbarrow. Make no mistake about it. And there's a couple of things in life sober me up. I'm not talking about alcohol here, but in terms of they help me sort of stay focused. And one of those things is the realization that if you have any responsibility in the church life for teaching or any responsibility for caring for people, you will give an account. That really does sort of sober me up a wee bit. And if there's two things I must give account for, I must tell the people about the Lamb of God, and I must tell them about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Two vital, important things. And I've got to tell people, you've got to get into the wheelbarrow, that you've got to take the Lamb personally. And you need to know that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you. And he can supply all that you need, whatever it is. It's all inclusive. Prove that to me, Stephen, I hear you cry. Okay. Let's begin with a story, a true story. This is a summary of John 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is on earth. I want you to imagine you're there. You've spent a week with Jesus. It's been absolutely fantastic. You've seen the dead raised, lepers cleansed, feeding of a 5,000. And think about your own issues and problems and concerns. You know, if Jesus was there in the flesh, you know, you'd be going to him there and there and saying, can you help me with this issue? I need comfort here. I need help here. I need provision here. I need heal there. I'm concerned about my daughter. I'm concerned about my son. I'm concerned about my grandchild. And Jesus is there in the flesh. And what an exciting time to live in, to be actually present with Jesus in the flesh. Then he says to the disciples one day, guys, it's to your advantage I leave. That's a staggering thing to say. Wow, what do you mean it's better you leave? To have you here in the flesh doing all this in front of our faces, and you're telling us it's an advantage that you leave us? That is a shocking statement. What on earth is that about? And here's what Jesus began to explain. I have to leave you. I have to go the way of the cross, the way of death, burial, and resurrection. For that's why I came. I have to fulfill that prophecy, the Lamb of God, for you. But I will come to you. And it's to your advantage that I leave, because I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not abandon you. I will send the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not just be with you as I am, but he will be in you. And Jesus could only be at one place at one time when he was restricted in his earthly life and ministry. But when the Holy Spirit comes, Christ can dwell in every single believer across the face of the earth. And the same Holy Spirit that was with Jesus, anointing Jesus, is the very same Holy Spirit who comes to be with us and live in us. I have a responsibility to say that that is as true as Jesus being the Lamb of God. That's the all-inclusive gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit was not given to compensate for Jesus' absence, but to guarantee his presence. And what I believe is that many of the questions that people wrestle with, many of the questions I've wrestled with, and maybe people here are wrestling with, in terms of living the Christian life and experiencing what the Bible talks about, are answered by a right understanding and experience of God's all-inclusive gift. Let me tell you some of those questions. I've had people say to me, I would love to be a Christian, but I couldn't keep it up. You don't have to keep it up. There's a strength and a power and a person who enables you to live the Christian life. Someone says, I couldn't possibly be used by God. I'm disqualified. The Holy Spirit is given to people who are weak and who cannot do it on their own. A gift is a gift is a gift. We always underestimate, I had another phrase. Yes, we grossly underestimate God in our personal life. This, and he has been given. Someone else would say, I'm too overwhelmed by issues and problems. How could I ever be used by God? The answer is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lifts us. He gives us what we need. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. Another question, I look at the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament I see at certain times God put his Holy Spirit on people. Sometimes it was a prophet, sometimes it was a priest, sometimes it was a judge, maybe someone like Samson. I can't think of anybody less perfect than Samson. And yet the Holy Spirit came upon him for a season, for a purpose. The gift of the Holy Spirit given to people that do not qualify. He came upon Deborah. He came upon the judges. He came upon the prophets. But when would the Holy Spirit be poured upon all flesh? Not just special people for special seasons and special tasks. There's a longing in the Old Testament for a day to come when God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Men and women, young and old, slave and free. People from all ethnic backgrounds. Is there a day coming when the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh? John the Baptist said, he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts tells us the day has come. He has poured out his Spirit on all flesh. And we really do need to believe that and receive that. Just a few little exhortations. If the Holy Spirit, if Jesus really is the ascended one, the glorified one, the right hand of the Father, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit, how do we engage with that? How do we receive the benefits of that? And I want to mention just a couple of thoughts and a couple of ideas. The first one is this. There is a need to believe the Word of God, and there's a need to receive what the Word of God speaks. Receiving is not an easy thing for a lot of people. I've told this illustration many times, but sometimes it's easier to give a gift than receive a gift, isn't it? I get really embarrassed and awkward when people give me things, only a little bit. If it's chocolate, I get over it. But it's hard to receive something as a gift. And we need to learn to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use that word very deliberately. We need to learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit. I remember about 20 years ago going down to Dublin to pray for a woman with a brain tumor. and there was two or three of us went to see her. My understanding was that she recovered. I think she may have had surgery and different things. It's 20 years ago. I don't know the latest. But I'll never forget this woman when she described, you know, my greatest fear having this brain tumor is having to have surgery on my brain, of all things, and to go under the anesthetic and lose control. And she began to describe, and I'll not go into details, how as a young child she had been abused. And the idea of going unconscious and being at the mercy of circumstances and the mercy of an anaesthetist and the mercy of a brain surgeon really, really frightened her. And it was very hard for her to surrender. Now, I'm glad to say we were able to minister to that in that situation. And as far as I know, she did very well and she had her surgery. But you know, a lot of us are afraid to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Why? Why are we afraid to hand over control of our lives to God, to Christ and the Holy Spirit? And there is something about learning to surrender in the moment and the situation that you're in to God. To seek God in the moment for wisdom. To seek God in the moment for strength. To seek God in the moment for guidance. See, it's not just about at some stage in the future, I'll be guided by the Lord. At some stage in the future, I'll get strength. Some stage in the future, I will ask for wisdom. It's about now, this day, and this hour, and this situation, and this moment. And I want to give you a guarantee. If you lack wisdom and you ask God for wisdom in the moment, He will give it to you. But there's something about being open. There's something about being surrendered. And surrendering to the indwelling life of the Holy Spirit that He's put in us if we have received Him. Learning to surrender to this Holy Spirit in the moment, to the indwelling Holy Spirit and the outpoured Holy Spirit. I need to learn to trust the Holy Spirit in everyday life and situations. I trust myself too much, in a sense. I'm amazed at how much trust Jesus put in those disciples. I'm going to leave you, and I want you to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And there's a story about the angels are discussing this. Is what's your plan, Jesus? Says these 12 guys, 11 actually, about 120 people when you count up the other family members and the women and believers and all the rest of it. 120 people was plan A. And the angel says, what if it fails? What if Peter denies you again? What if there's another Judas in that crowd? You know, what if these sons of thunder lose the bap and call down fire when they shouldn't? What if Matthew goes back to his past life? He was a tax collector, a thief. What if that guy, what's his name, the zealot, what if he goes back to his paramilitary lifestyle? These were real guys with real issues and real histories. What if it fails, Jesus? What's plan B? There isn't a plan B. Jesus showed incredible trust and faith in the Word of God, but in the Spirit of God that was given. He has given us His all-inclusive Spirit. He's given it to you. He's given it to me. He's given it to one another. He's given His Spirit to all of His people everywhere. If you're a child, He didn't give you a junior Holy Spirit. If you're a pensioner, He didn't give you a pensioner Holy Spirit. Whatever your background, He didn't give you a different Holy Spirit from the Holy Spirit that John spoke about, Jesus spoke about, and the early church experienced. Jesus' earthly ministry and the Gospels, has been continued by his heavenly ministry through the Holy Spirit today. I write down a question here. What really transformed the early disciples? What transformed the apostles from fearful, narrow-minded? Remember, they all abandoned Jesus at the time of the cross. What transformed them and the early church? That it began with 120 people, Acts chapter 1 in Jerusalem, and it ended in Rome. With the known world had been impacted by the gospel in a generation. What was the key that transformed those people? And where I'm going with this is, the same two keys can transform our lives and our families and our communities and our workplaces. What were the two things that transformed the apostles? The resurrection of Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but a realization that Christ was alive. But not just the resurrection, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist said, he's the Lamb of God and he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. I want both, I need both, and I tell you that God's honest truth, both are available to us. His all-inclusive gift of the Spirit and the full benefits of the Lamb. Who in their right mind would turn that down? Who in their right mind would settle for anything less? And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I was sort of thinking, hang on a second. Jesus, you talked about the Holy Spirit being with us and the Holy Spirit being in us, but he also comes upon us. That's really, really hard to get my head around. You know, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful, so all-inclusive. He comes to live in us, he comes to be with us, and he comes upon us. What an incredible gift. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Notice it says a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I asked myself this question. If I want to recognize the Holy Spirit, if I want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, if I want to cut deeper with the Holy Spirit, what are some of the clues in some of these phrases that can help us get the real thing, if you know what I mean? Not a fake, not something emotional, but what are some of these phrases telling us about this incredible gift and this incredible all-inclusive gift? And this is what I would say, cooperating with the Holy Spirit is a little bit like the wind. You don't see the wind, you don't understand the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. Something starts to move, something starts to stir within you and around you. God is on the move. Open my eyes, Lord, to see the moving and the blowing of your Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest with you. One of the reasons I go on mission trips is to rekindle that awareness of the Holy Spirit that sometimes with mortgages and the nitty-gritty of work, you can get really, really insensitive to the spiritual realm, and then you come back fresher, more sensitive to the wind. There's something also about, he's a bit like a fire. And fire speaks of purity, doesn't it? It burns bad stuff up. But it also speaks of zeal and boldness, a quickening. And it's very interesting. One of the things you need most and I need most is enthusiasm for spiritual things. Enthusiasm for prayer. Enthusiasm to witness. Enthusiasm to do life better. Where do you get that fire? Where do you get that enthusiasm that is not of yourself? The Holy Spirit can bring that purifying, that cleansing, that stirring, that fire. And you know, I think the way it works very often is you become aware of the lack of something. You go to God and then you receive what you need. I become aware of my weakness, then I go to God and get strength. I become aware of my lack of fire, enthusiasm, and I go to God and I receive quickening and fire. I become aware of I'm overwhelmed, and I go to God and I find I get a strength and an energy not of myself. He is the gift of the Holy Spirit is the all-inclusive gift that God has given us. Surrender to Him, be open to Him, cooperate with Him. And then one of my favorites, it says they were filled. And again, I say, I wish the Bible was clearer. You know, you talk about wind, you talk about fire, you talk about being in us. Now you're talking about being filled. And it's a picture of a cup being filled to overflowing, filled with water that overflows and touches other people, especially through speaking, especially through the mouth. And I've discovered in my walk with God that during those times when I've learned to surrender, I've learned to cooperate, I've learned to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not necessarily flashing lights and all that kind of thing. That rarely, if ever, happens to me. I've never had flashing lights, actually. But what I find is I get a courage to speak up and speak out. I get a courage to witness when it scares the living daylights out of me. I get a courage to maybe speak the truth in love to somebody when I would rather be Mr. Nice Guy. And all I can say is that the Holy Spirit is a fantastic helper. When you need stirred, when you need enthusiasm, when you need fire, when you need strength, when you need boldness to speak up and speak out, He gives all of those things. But often you come to God with an awareness of your need. And that's my message this morning. Let's honor Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And let's honor Christ as the giver and baptizer of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish with this because I thought it would be a terrible thing to not give people a chance to respond to this message this morning. I'm not going to drag this out. I'm not going to get you to do anything embarrassing. But I might want people just to be quiet for a few moments, and I want to maybe pray a prayer and give a very clear invitation. If you need further prayer in any of these areas, that we are available at the end of the service, whether it's me or Ken and Tommy together with me. But I'll finish with this story. This is a good news story with a warning. By the way, I'm really struck, the more I get into the New Testament, how Paul in particular, you know, he was so passionately in love with God and with Christ and the good news of the gospel, but he had a sense of sobriety and a sense of warning. How God brings those two things together. Inexpressible joy and also sobriety. That doesn't make sense in the natural way of thinking. But that's these things of God, they are so good, and yet there's a warning aspect to it as well. And in Acts chapter 19, you can read it when you get home, there's a very interesting story. It happens to be in the book of Acts, which is good. And this is in the early days of the church at Ephesus, probably even before it was a proper church. And it describes how Paul, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through inland and came to Ephesus, and he found a few disciples. Probably these guys believed in God, were seeking to follow Christ as much as they understood him. Probably they had heard John the Baptist preach. And when Paul found them, he asked them a very good and very interesting question. And we need to ask this question. He said to them this, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And their answer was amazing. "We haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." You know, and some of us have never heard there is a Holy Spirit. That's why you're not experiencing it. Some people have never heard he's the comforter. Therefore, they've never been comforted by the Holy Spirit. Some people have never heard that he's like a wind, he's like a fire. Hear it. It's true. Experience it. Some people have never heard. Some people believe in the Holy Spirit, but they've never received the Holy Spirit. Interesting, he doesn't say, "Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" He says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" So there's something about cooperating with a person and a presence. We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And then Paul, who's a great spiritual doctor, he starts to think like this, "Gosh, are these guys even Christians in the first place? Let's just check out the foundations a little bit here. Let's just check out the basics. Were you baptized?" "Yes, into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So Paul's saying, "I want you to understand who Jesus Christ is. He's the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. He has come, he's lived, and he's died, and he's resurrected. That's who you're baptized into." "Okay, we get baptized." Do you need to be baptized, anybody? I think there's warning in these things. It's possible to think you're a Christian and never have met Christ. It's possible to meet Christ and bypass baptism. And then he says, he laid his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And you know, sometimes you can believe in Christ, you can be baptized, but sometimes it's good to let someone lay hands on you and let the Holy Spirit be released or come upon you in a fresh way, that you know without any doubt whatsoever, if I ask this question, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" you don't have to consult your lawyer. You can say, "Yes." Now, if you ask me, "Have I received the Holy Spirit?" there are days I would answer that, "I think so." There's other days I would say, "Yes." There's other times I'd say, "I remember when I was 16 when the Holy Spirit first came upon me. And I remember last Friday when I got an energy not of myself." The Holy Spirit is the all-inclusive gift of God to help us. So let's close our eyes and just be quiet and pray. And then we're finished. Have you believed in Christ as your personal sacrifice? And given the leadership of your life to Christ? If not, just do it right now and tell someone. On the 4th of November, 2018, I believed in Christ, took him as my lamb, and gave the leadership of my life to him. Have you been baptized as a believer? There's a wee opportunity coming up on the 18th of November. Happiest funeral you'll ever be at. There's something very significant about burying the old life and laying the foundation. And the third question, have you received the Holy Spirit? And if you need myself or someone else to lay hands on you afterwards, as we close the meeting, we can do that. Many of us have received the Holy Spirit. It's more an issue of learning to cooperate, learning to surrender, learning to be continually filled by the Holy Spirit. But hear this, he really is the helper, the comforter, the source of life, wisdom, strength, power, boldness. He's everything you need. It's like having Jesus here in the flesh, only better. That's a very radical statement. It's like having Jesus here in the flesh, only better. Someone somewhere is going to believe that. Some church somewhere is going to believe that. And never, ever underestimate God again in our lives. In our church's life. So Lord, I present this talk, Lord, as clearly and as faithfully as I can, and I just trust that your Spirit would do the rest, Lord. But we are friends here. This is a safe place if anyone needs to talk further about these things or receive prayer for these things, Lord. So we just thank you for this service, Lord, and we just release one another, Lord, at this point, Lord. Keep us in fellowship and communion with you and with one another, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.